Hello, welcome to Pastor Vic's Nugget of Truth. Over the last several episodes, we've been talking about the different ways in which we can hear from God. The Holy Spirit of God is able to reveal himself in the following ways. One, through the illumination of the Word. This is when the Holy Spirit lights up a passage of Scripture to you, makes it understandable and relevant for you. Another way we talked about is through personal revelation. That is when the Holy Spirit reveals a truth about Jesus and the Word of God. Thirdly, through the Rhema Word, the Holy Spirit brings back to memory Scripture that is relevant for making a decision or for direction in your life. And then four, through circumstances and opportunities, God can open and close doors as a means of directing your path. And finally, through the still, quiet voice, when God speaks to you either audibly or in your mind, giving you direction for your life or even encouragement. But after hearing God, then what? As God reveals his will or his plan to us, what are we to do with what we know? The simple answer is to just do it. In the late 80s and the early 90s, a well-known slogan for Nike sneakers was used to almost triple their sales for Nike sneakers. It was, just do it. In other words, don't think about it, talk about it, but just do it. When it comes to the things of God, many people live in the place of, let's think about this and see if it really makes sense. If you're waiting for things to make sense, you're missing the point of what faith is. Because faith is spiritual, faith will not necessarily make intellectual sense or make sense in our minds. You see, God is able to see the whole picture. You can only see a part. The central issue of faith is, do you trust God to do what he says he will do? The word faith is one of those seemingly simple words that gets thrown around by Christians. You hear words or phrases like a measure of faith, get more faith. Faith moves mountains. Faith as a mustard seed. And finally, we know that faith pleases God. All of these statements are scriptural and therefore true. Yet it's important to understand that faith isn't something you can generate or muster up in an emergency or on demand. Faith is an outcome. Faith is an outcome or is produced out of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To understand faith fully, we need to recognize that faith has deep spiritual roots into spiritual terms like righteousness, justification, works, and grace. When you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, there were two spiritual transactions that took place. One, you believe that Jesus died for your sins and you are now totally forgiven of all of your sins. Not some, not certain ones, but all. Most importantly, you were forgiven of the sin of not believing in Jesus to begin with. And then two, you also believe that although Jesus died on the cross, he rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. At the moment you believed, you were justified and therefore made righteous. Two important terms. Justified in simple terms means that there is no charge against you. It's a legal term. You've been found innocent in God's eyes. Let me explain. As a result of this justification, which is, by the way, the opposite of condemnation, but before Christ, you were condemned and now you're justified. The Holy Spirit came to live in you. The third person of the Godhead is called the Holy Spirit because he is God and the Holy Spirit is holy. He's pure and undefiled. Because of this fact, he's able to live in you because you are now a holy place or, as the scriptures say, the temple of God. Let me express this a different way. As I said, justification is a legal term and means that as far as God is concerned, it's as if you never sinned at all. There's a play on the word justified, and that is just if I'd never sinned. And that truly and accurately describes what justification is. Now, what's important to recognize is that the state of justification means that you are made righteous. This righteousness, or being right or in the right standing before God, is not out of your own effort, but totally of God. The moment you believe, grace was in operation, which means that your salvation is a gift of God. And that's what grace means. Grace means it is a gift of God. We see that in Ephesians 2, 8, and I'm going to read through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are three takeaways that we need to be careful about that we don't miss from this section of Scripture in Ephesians. Number one, we're saved by grace, and grace is a gift of God. You didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but God gave it to you because of faith. That's number two. It's through faith that this grace became effective. And then number three, what's important to recognize is that God has a plan for you that he wants you to walk in or to live out. Now, the kind of faith we're talking about is saving faith. It is the faith by which you became saved or born again. As a result of this salvation, you are justified and not condemned to hell. This justification also means that you are righteous in God's eyes, the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, let's look at faith in the context of everyday living as a Christian. In human history, God has always wanted a people that he could call his own. As in the Garden of Eden before the fall, he wanted a people that he could fellowship with and a people that would obey him. In the Old Testament, it was the Jews of Israel. In the New Testament, it is the believers in Jesus Christ. We know that both the Old and the New Testaments are two separate covenants or contracts, if you will, with God. In the Old Testament, it was all about the law. The law was passed from God to Moses to the people of Israel. An important point to keep in mind is that the people of Israel agreed to abide by the law. They agreed to the Ten Commandments and all of the regulations that Moses received from God when Moses was on Mount Sinai. Now, the Hebrew Bible is called the Tanakh and is composed of three parts. The law, or the Torah, now that describes the first five books of the Bible. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then the prophets, of which there are five major and 12 minor prophets, for a total of 17 prophets. And the rest of the book of the Tanakh, which were called the writings. So you have the Torah, or the law, the prophets, and the writings. The entire Christian Old Testament Bible and the Hebrew Tanakh, which are the same, but they simply have the books in different order. But the point is that it's all about the law, or the law of Moses. The Hebrew law was how the Jewish people could enter into and maintain their righteous relationship with God. Observance of the law justified the Jews. And this observance of the law meant that there were many things that Jews could do or not do. These were acts or actions that could be described as works of the law. When one of the commandments of the law was broken, an elaborate system of sacrifice was instituted to restore the right relationship with God. In other words, to restore righteousness. Now, here's an interesting thought. Was it the strict observance of the law, or what we would call the letter of the law, or was it the spirit of the law that God was looking for? The letter of the law was by works, or the efforts of the individual. The spirit of the law was to walk by faith. You see, even in the Mosaic law, the Old Testament, God's intention was to promote faith in himself. The New Testament covenant is referred to in the book of Hebrews as the better covenant. It's better on so many levels, as chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Hebrews point out. The New Testament points out what the law, under the old covenant was incapable of producing righteousness. All the law showed was mankind's inability to keep the law perfectly, and the sacrificial system introduced by the Levites was unable to produce the kind of change that was permanent and pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear that we are justified by faith and not by the law. The weakness of the law was that it was based upon works. In other words, the human ability to observe the law. The Apostle Paul again makes it clear in the book of Romans that it is by grace that we can draw close to God. Works just make us aware of our inability to keep the law. In Paul's word, the law simply made us aware of how sinful we were. The gift of Jesus Christ to humanity was part of God's unfolding plan of his love and grace to mankind. John 3:16 and 17 say the following, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we can't forget verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved or justified." You see, we are saved when we believe in Jesus. That's God's gift. What ties us to Jesus is our faith in him. Faith in what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, and faith in what he accomplished when he arose again 3 days later. Forgiveness of all of our sins, that we've been justified and made righteous. When Jesus ascended from the grave, the Holy Spirit descended to live in us as believers. Our faith is in Jesus and him alone. What Jesus promised through the Father, he will fulfill. Now be careful now. Our faith is not in the promise, but in the one who makes the promise, Jesus. It's always about relationship, not cold religion. And that's what separates the followers of the law from the followers of grace. The law actually resulted in what we call legalism, just an outward expression of the law. But true grace results in freedom. For some Christians, faith is seen as something to employ in order to get God's attention. Now, we may have a need or a desire or some impending health crisis. Don't get me wrong. We all have needs, and we should bring them to the Lord. We're encouraged to do that in the Word. But faith is not something we turn to when we're in trouble. Faith is a continual manifestation of our righteousness before God. In other words, I'm trying to live in a way that is pleasing to God, and therefore I know that I have access to him. It's because of my fellowship or intimacy with God that I am confident, I'm sure that he hears me and that he will answer me in my time of need. He is my help as I walk by faith in Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Here's the important part. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." You see, it is God that is working inside of you. As you yield to him, as you surrender to him, you will be walking by faith and not by sight. As we said earlier, as in the Garden of Eden before the fall, God wants to walk with you and fellowship with you. As you see your relationship with him in this manner, you will find that your faith will just automatically grow, and all of the promises that faith brings will be yours. I just want to take a few moments to just read some portions of scripture from the book of Romans. I'm going to be looking at Romans chapter 3 and then Romans chapter 4. And I would encourage you to read both these chapters in depth, but I just want to pick out a few verses. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, the scripture says, or the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." And then in chapter 4, we see the example of Abraham. He's often referred to in Christian circles as the father of faith. Because he demonstrates what God intended in the Old Testament and becomes an example for us to believe. It says, what shall we say then? Abraham, our father, has found something according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham's faith was in God. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And that's that connection between faith and righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of a man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Then if we will jump to Romans chapter 4, I'm going to pick up with verse 16. As it speaks about Abraham's righteousness was by faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's us. As it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And see, that is the beauty of faith. Faith can see that which has not come to pass yet. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Talking about the spiritual realm. Then in verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. And what was that promise? The promise was that he would have a son, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And this is what faith does, verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, was raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Legalism does nothing. What God is looking for is a transformation on the inside, change on the inside that only he can do. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow God to renew your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into a place of joy and a place of peace and a place of love. Walk by faith, not by sight. The world will tell you, show me and then I'll believe. God says, believe and then I will show you. God bless you. I hope this message has been of some help to you in understanding what faith is and what faith is not. I want to encourage you to, if you'd like more information, I encourage you to go to my website, which is PastorVicsNuggets.com, or you can get there through www.PastorVic.com. There you'll find some video series as well as additional podcasts, as well as some resources that I think you might find interesting. In any case, God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.